Okay, please be seated now. Do you ever feel like you just want to redo? You just want to be able to do it one more time? You want to sing it louder? Have you ever had on your, what is it, stereo equipment or the new kinds of iPhones or Pandora, Alexa, what's the other one? What's the other one? Alexa, Pandora, and Google, Siri, okay. And do you ever hit replay? Do it again. Do you ever do that? No, okay. Are there ever any songs that you hear them and you go, man, I want to hear that again? Back in the old AM radio days driving your car, you'd start punching the buttons hoping that they'd play it again on another station so you could hear it again. Am I crazy? Is this just me? It's not just me. Thank you. Thank you. It's awesome. Sometimes when you really just want to praise the Lord, you want to go again. You want to do it again. Kind of like Chubby Checker. Let's twist again like we did last summer. Okay, maybe not like Chubby Checker. Today, to be a servant. To be a servant. This is not something that resonates real well with us, I don't believe. What is this radical nature of servanthood, this radical nature of being a servant that's in Scripture? It seems like it's everywhere in Scripture. And I think it runs in the face of the consummate leader of today, doesn't it? Who's a good leader?
Well, the self-assured one,
the confident one, the powerful one, the capable one, the in-control one, the one who knows how to take charge. Now, you're hearing that and you're thinking, is he making fun of something that really is a good thing in management today? What kind of, just put in your mind's eye, what kind of leader do you look for? Your head of personnel in a big Fortune 500 company, maybe it's not Fortune 500, maybe it's just a big company, and you're looking for leaders that'll take you into the next phase. Do you look for those kind of people? I'm not saying this is wrong or right, but I think that is something that really is in the forefront of our minds. So what do we have as an example of our Christian purview? Well, I guess it's Jesus Christ, isn't it? And what did Jesus do? He's fully man, because he came to us, but he's also fully God, so he is so incredible. We can't even look upon him. How did he do that? That he made it possible for us to be able to see him. Us, the people, some 2,000 years ago. How did that work? And what does it say that Jesus did? He put aside his glory. This is out of Galatians. Not part of our text today, but something worthy of hearing. Puts aside his glory and comes down and decides not to lord it over on everyone, but be in what? In relationship with us. We already know what might have happened had he come down in his full glory. Moses in the Old Testament wanted to see God, and God says, well, you're going to have to get in a cleft of a rock, and you're going to have to face toward this cave, and you're going to have to cover your eyes because I'm going to pass by the back of you. And don't turn around, or it could kill you. That's how powerful, how incredible God is. And then what happens when Moses comes down from the mountain? Do you remember? He's covered his face. He's looking away from where God comes by him, and he comes down, and his face from the reflection is so bright that people are saying, Moses, we can't even be in your presence. And so Moses has to wear a veil for a time so people can stand to be in the presence of someone who just reflected God's glory. That's incredible glory, isn't it? I just wanted to take that digression to just have us think about how miraculous, how incredible, how powerful God is. How powerful his son, Jesus Christ, is. So Jesus walks on the earth, and what does he show us? He's totally a tough guy, right? He is cleaning house, and he's wailing on everybody. And you're like, wait, I don't think I saw that in my Bible, Pastor. Maybe what he did was he became a humble, willing servant unto death. What in the world is that all about? Why would he do that? I remember years ago trying to be peaceful, congenial, this very likable guy when I was a missionary in Colombia. I wanted everybody to just get along. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe you're thinking, that would be great right now in our country. A lot of you have probably taken a break from Facebook. I can't stand it anymore, right? Can't we all just get along? So that was my mindset. My wife and I went into a heavily drug, narco-trafficked country, guerrilla fighter country. Our lives were threatened. People were violent there. And I thought, can't we all just get along? Well, that piece of not getting along had infiltrated into our churches as well, our covenant churches that we came into. I would go to the meetings, and it was fighting and fighting and fighting. And you'd always watch this one guy, because right as we got to the end of the meeting, he'd stand up and he'd point like this. And he says, I have 19 things that are bothering me about the meeting today. And you're going, 19? Count them off. And he would. And we're like, oh, I was getting ready to go home. But he'd save it to the end. And they became so crazy within this group of pastors that finally, as a mission that worked with them, we had to take steps. And we had to take back buildings and churches that had been given. It was a dark period for our mission. I happened to be president of the mission at the time. It was horrible. I had the president of the denomination call me and said, I'm going to see that you're put in jail for what you've done, Mark. And he slammed the phone on me. And I just wept next to the phone. I thought, Mr. Nice Guy, Mark, I want everybody to get along. And here, I was the guy that had to push that way. Other people called me and said, well, this is so great, Mark. The mission finally put its pants on. That was their expression. La misión por fin se puso los pantalones. You guys showed some moxie. And I couldn't be happy with them. I was grieved. Look for an example at the scripture of Jesus and his treatment of things when everyone thought he was going to be bringing a revolution. That's what I felt like we had done in that church down there. Jesus coming in on a white charger? No. He's on an unridden donkey. And do you remember? They came and they said, "Is now the time?" And he turns and looks at them and they say, "Here are two swords." And they plop them down on the table. And instead of, we always expect Jesus to go, "No, no, 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 no. It's not with swords and violence. That's not my message at all." What does Jesus do? He says, "That's enough. Two swords will be enough." And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Thousands of Roman soldiers, legions, groupings of soldiers. Two swords? This is that wonderful understatement that comes through in Scripture. Two swords. That's enough. He's kind of giving them what they need and showing them that that's not the way it will be done. Humility. What is that? I wonder if we could show a slide up here. You'll also find this slide in your bulletin. Here's one of the parishioners walking by. It's Pastor William S. Smith III, B.A., Th.D., M.Div., Ph.D., D.D., D. Literature, and your humble servant. You're chuckling because it's like a double message, isn't it? We used to call that fruit salad after our names. We'd pull out our business card and somebody else be trading business cards with you, and you'd go, "Hey, there's a lot of fruit salad after your name." And this is probably lesser because it would probably be the most reverend doctor, William S. Smith III, B.A., Th.D., M.Div., Ph.D., D.D., D. Literature, and your humble servant. All of those are real sheepskin diploma titles. It's hard to feel like it's really a humble servant when there's the need to have all of that put out there. I'm not saying getting all that education is a bad thing. It's a great thing. I think it's important for someone to be able to teach, preach, lead, if you will. Yet sometimes putting all of that out there seems a little counterproductive. How about our next slide? "Well done, my good and faithful pastor," bishop, evangelist, apostle, preacher, missionary, teacher, singer, worship leader. How about "well done, my good and faithful servant"? Aren't those the words that Jesus puts to us in Scripture? They are, aren't they? What is hard about servanthood? Being a servant, I think, doesn't evoke the right mental picture, does it? It sounds like you are a poor person who has to serve everyone else. Why would Jesus want us to be a person like that? It is his example. It is his example of love. It is his example of taking it all the way up to the cross. "I am going to give my all for you," is what he says. "I will do it all." If he is our model, then we need to do the same thing. And I think that's a hard thing. When my wife and I moved to Argentina, I used to travel all over the Southern Cone, and it was glorious. A lot of cool scenery, great places to see. We get to go back to one of those places that I got to teach in. It was so awesome. I can't wait for us to arrive there again. But as we would travel and preach and teach, I went with the national president of the Argentine Covenant Church. And we would come into homes. We would stay. They would give us housing. They would feed us. And this pastor always got the main seat at the table. Pastor Alicia, I think you gave a sermon a while ago about who gets the main seat. The parable of the great banquet. And that was resonating in my head as you were preaching that. And it made me remember this. Because we'd come in and they'd go, Pastor, Pastor, the head of the table. And he'd sit there. I'd be on the side. I'm not saying this because I wanted to not be on the side, okay? Please understand that. And I'd watch him. And they'd come, and there'd sometimes be two people in the house attending to him. He was the pastor. One evening, they were talking to me, and I think they hadn't known what I had done before or who I really was. I did some teaching, I did some preaching. And suddenly, they looked at me, and they said, are you a pastor too? And I said, well, yes. And they said, oh, Pastor Mark. And I thought, what does this mean now? The next day, we both had awesome seating at the table. I don't know where they found all the other people, but they were hovering over me too. You think I felt good about this? It was awkward, and it was really weird. I was also a pastor. I received the treatment. And you know what's wild about this? I am a pastor. But a pastor is a servant. A pastor needs to emulate that which Jesus Christ asked us to be. We need to serve the congregation. Anything we can do for you, when we say, what can I do for you? Is there anything we can, oh, no, no, Pastor, Pastor, that's okay. No, we really mean that. And it's not just so you can work us to the bone and we can be exhausted. Hopefully, that's not going to happen because as we are servants for you, then you catch that vision, and you become servants for each other. Does this make sense to you? Yeah. It's a beautiful thing. We end up being servants one to another. And we should remember to not run roughshod over any of these who are servants to us. They are our examples. And there's a lament in this. And the lament might be, I've never given all of myself. I have a sinful nature. I just can't do this. It's too hard for me. Do you remember what Jesus did? It's amazing today that today is communion. Because what led up to communion? Do you remember? I think it was this, wasn't it? He took off his outer robe, had another towel around his waist, and he starts washing all of their feet. I don't have time to wash all of your feet today. That's kind of too bad. That would be awesome. I didn't even ask any of you if I could do this for you. Some of you might be going, I have a bunion on my foot, Pastor. I can't show you my feet. Others might be saying, I've got corns on the side. I've got Band-Aids on my feet because I have a blister in the back. Do you know why he washed their feet? There's two reasons. The main one is to show his servanthood to them because the people who washed their feet were the servants of the household. And the picture of our times from back then is that the roads were so dusty that their feet were filthy and they needed to get cleaned up before they went in for dinner. I'm looking around, and I would like to wash the feet of two of you, if that is all right with you. And I want to remind you, do you remember how some of the disciples didn't want that done? And what happened to Peter? You're not doing that to me. You can't be that much of a servant slave to me. And then he said, you can't be part of me. You can't be part of my whole movement if you don't. And then what does he say? Okay, not just my feet. Do everything. That's what I love about Peter. He's just a wild man. I wanna do it. Dion, could I wash your feet? Is that okay with you?
No. I have fungus.
You have fungus. Okay, I was just kidding about these things. I'm okay with that if you're okay with that, but if you're not okay. Stuart, would that be all right with you? I'm very serious. Okay, come on over here. And I'd like to ask, Melissa, would you be willing? I'm going to start with you, even though it's usually ladies first, because I know you're going to need to play the piano pretty soon. He needs to dry off. You can just put your, thank you. All right. This is a lot easier because his feet aren't unbelievably dirty. I had another servant help me this morning getting this water. You notice it's not super cold.
No, it's very nice. It's very nice.
I'm not going to call you out who you were, but thank you very much once again.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you. God bless you, Stuart.
Thank you.
This is just excellent that you didn't have stockings on. I didn't even plan this. Okay. God bless you, Melissa. Thank you so much for being willing to submit to this or receive this. I do have to tell you that years ago, there was a woman's retreat in our town in Cartagena, Colombia, and all of the women leaders, wives of pastors, some of them were pastors as well, had planned this, and they invited the pastors and husbands of some of the female pastors to come on the last day. They performed, they did dramas, it was absolutely wonderful. And then each one came and washed our feet. And all of the men and women whose husbands or wives were spouses or other pastors were just weeping because they didn't usually receive this kind of treatment. I don't know if you've ever had anyone wash your feet, but I think it's a wonderful experience, and I would highly recommend it, even if you have corns, bunions, fungus, or whatever you have, because the Lord can take care of that as well. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your example of servant leadership. Lord, we pray that we could humble ourselves before you, that we could be used by you in whatever you would have for us. Let us be open to anything that is on your list. God, we thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.